Today's other headlines, the Trump administration is imposing new tariffs on dozens of countries starting just after midnight. That's the exact moment a prior round of tariffs is set to expire. Officials say the new tariffs are the result of an investigation into the alleged failure of around 60 trade partners to prevent forced labor in their supply chains to the detriment of American workers. The U.S. will collect duties of at least 10% on roughly 99% of all imports. Today's action is the most significant step yet to rebuild President Trump's tariff regime after it was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. In Madison, Wisconsin, tensions are running high following the fatal police shooting of a man with a knife. City officials identified him as Corey Ruiz, who was homeless, and say he was resisting arrest when a struggle broke out and an officer opened fire. Video of the shooting posted on social media sparked widespread anger, with protesters marching to the state capitol to demand accountability. At a news conference today, Madison's mayor promised a thorough investigation.
As a city, as a community, as a society, we have to do better. I want to be clear. It does not matter who you are or what your past is. You should not lose your life as a result of an encounter with law enforcement.
The news conference was interrupted when a group of protesters burst in, with one taking over the podium to voice the group's anger as police and city officials looked on. The man who killed Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman was sentenced to life in prison today. Vance Belcher pleaded guilty last month to killing the Democratic lawmaker and her husband, as well as critically wounding another state senator, John Hoffman, and his wife. That plea allowed him to avoid the death penalty. Instead, he was given two life terms plus an additional 40 years, the longest sentence the judge on the case says he has ever handed down. Belcher also faces state charges for murder and attempted murder, as well as a personal injury lawsuit. Floodwaters are slowly receding in West Virginia after torrential rain caused flash floods that submerged entire neighborhoods. Authorities reported dozens of water rescues and hundreds of National Guard troops are out in force to assist. Governor Patrick Morrissey has said he's concerned about fatalities as some people remain unaccounted for. Meantime, Tropical Storm Bertha made a second landfall today, this time near the Texas-Louisiana state line, causing a storm surge and flooding in some coastal areas. But its heaviest rains have mostly stayed offshore, and the storm is expected to weaken as it moves inland. No deaths or major damage has been reported. An unnamed member of Vice President J.D. Vance's security detail is under investigation over a suspected leak to the media. The Secret Service tells the NewsHour that the internal review is in response to an MS Now report last week about frustration over the vice president's last-minute travel and his use of resources for personal matters like flying his son to a golf lesson by military helicopter. An agency spokesperson adds that disciplinary action could include a possible criminal inquiry for allegedly compromising operational and information security. The Justice Department today withdrew subpoenas issued to New York Times reporters as part of an investigation into the sources behind reporting about security concerns involving President Trump's new Air Force One. The Times had reported the Qatari-donated jet lacked some of the defensive systems found on the existing presidential aircraft. The subpoenas were part of an investigation into the possible disclosure of classified information. The move had drawn criticism from press freedom advocates who accused the administration of trying to uncover journalists' confidential sources. U.S. health officials are investigating a new outbreak of cyclosporiasis that has sickened at least 72 people. The FDA did not provide information about the source of the new outbreak or where the cases are actually located. But it comes amid a broader outbreak of the intestinal illness, with thousands of cases reported across more than 40 states. India's government says it's ready to speak with protesters after weeks of demonstrations, even as the protesters call for nationwide rallies tomorrow. Young protesters defied a security crackdown today. staging a sit-in on the streets of New Delhi. They're part of the so-called cockroach movement, which has fueled a wave of protests following the alleged leak of national entrance exams. The demonstrators are demanding sweeping reforms to India's education system and the resignation of the country's education minister. Today, the movement's leader said that failing to take such action would hurt the government of Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
Please listen to students. An incompetent, a failed minister cannot be more important than the millions of students of this country. And if a failed and incompetent minister is more important than millions of students, then remember that no one among them will vote for you.
The protests have become one of the biggest challenges to Modi's government since he took power in 2014. Today, he addressed the issue publicly for the first time, vowing what he called stringent punishment for anyone who may have leaked the exams. On Wall Street today, stocks tumbled after oil prices topped $100 per barrel. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 500 points. The NASDAQ dropped more than 2%. The S&P 500 also ended sharply lower. Well, still to come on the NewsHour, we speak with the opposition leader of Belarus about how her country became isolated after supporting Russia's war against Ukraine. The end of protected status for some migrants creates staffing challenges for elder care centers. And a new exhibit showcases an artist who until now kept her work largely hidden from public view.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, headquarters of PBS News.
In his primetime address last week about foreign interference in U.S. elections, President Trump made this sweeping claim about China.
The People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files.
But when asked repeatedly this week whether he would raise the issue directly with Beijing, Mr. Trump appeared to downplay his own warning.
Well, we're going to talk to him about it. It took place a long time ago. I think China is maybe a little bit different today than it was then. But look, they do things and we do things to them. I'll be honest. We do things to them, too. It's not a one-way street. But we'll be talking to them,
Yesterday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the issue did not come up in his meeting with China's foreign minister.
Was there a disagreement on election interference?
We didn't discuss that topic.
That's unfolding as Democrats are raising concerns about President Trump's focus on the integrity of the nation's elections and what he and his allies might do ahead of November's midterms. We're joined now by our White House correspondent, Liz Landers. So, Liz, if President Trump believes China carried out what he described just last week as an extraordinary attack on a U.S. election, why is his administration backing away from confronting Beijing over it?
It's unclear why the president's tone has shifted on this, but we do know that based on the documents and the intelligence that were released last week, it doesn't really back up what the president said in that speech. Here is what China did do based on what was declassified. They were involved in obtaining some of these publicly available voter data records. The president kind of referenced that there, but many states, most states, release this kind of information publicly. Journalists can access this, political parties can do it. Sometimes you have to pay a small fee, but it's out there publicly. The president said also in his speech that China wanted him to lose. There is a robust conversation that we saw in some of these declassified documents about the internal deliberations within the intelligence community, talking about whether or not China wanted to interfere or influence the election. But the report that was prepared by the then Director of National Intelligence, Ratcliffe, that was given to President Trump in January of 2021 after the election, said that China did not deploy interference efforts and considered, but did not deploy influence efforts. President, as you mentioned today, said that this will not impact Xi's visit to the U.S. in September.
Meantime, the Senate Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, he had a stark warning for Democrats this week about misinformation and what he sees as threats to the integrity of the midterms. What's he saying?
Schumer is warning that Democrats need to prepare for what he says are a variety of ways that he thinks that the president and the administration will try to influence or interfere with the elections here domestically. He talked to MS Now about this and said that they've been doing tabletop exercises, gaming out possible scenarios. This was a meeting that happened yesterday in the Capitol building with Democratic senators, outside advisors, and attorneys. One of the attorneys who was there is Mark Elias. He's represented Democrats in a lot of this election litigation in the past few years. I spoke with him on the phone a few moments ago, and he said that Schumer and the Democrats are taking this very seriously. He said this is the second such meeting that they have had in the last few months to talk about the upcoming midterm elections. And he said that in almost every scenario and exercise that he's been involved with, there's been a hypothetical brought up about ICE agents or federal agents showing up at polls and what happens in that scenario. I have asked the president and the White House press secretary about this, and neither one of them have ruled it out. The president told me a few months ago, well, I want to do whatever it takes to keep elections secure. So Elias said that the reason that this is important for the Democrats to be doing this right now is that the U.S. is facing what he calls an unprecedented threat to free and fair elections. And even in 2020, he said Trump did not take as many steps as he's taking now. Elias said that there's a strategy that they're working on: litigation, public engagement, and combating misinformation through the press.
And at the same time, you have Republicans, certainly the Trump administration, seizing on what happened in New Jersey. The governor there, Mikey Sherrill, said that between 2023 and 2024, more than 6,000 non-citizens had been accidentally registered to vote. She said more than 400 of them actually did. What more are Republicans saying?
Republicans in the White House are using this as a reason to push for the Save America Act. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt was asked about this today and asked specifically if this New Jersey case may lead to criminal prosecutions.
It is completely unacceptable to have non-citizens on American voter rolls voting in U.S. elections. And she says it's 6,600. We suspect it's a heck of a lot more, not just in New Jersey, but in states across the country.
Jeff, it's important to remind people that this number of voters, 400 that actually cast their ballots who were non-citizens, it's a very small percentage of the overall number of voters in New Jersey who cast their ballots in the last few election cycles. This would not have changed the outcome of the election in New Jersey, the presidential election for 2024. And I just want to note, too, that the president brought this up in his speech, non-citizens voting and being on voter rolls. The Department of Homeland Security said that 250,000 non-citizens were on voter rolls in four states. We don't know how they got that number, the administration. And when the Homeland Security Secretary was asked how many of those people actually have cast ballots, he could not answer that question, Jeff.
All right. Liz Landers, thanks as always.
Of course.